I'm at the Mid-South Farm and Gin Show, visiting with Tim Price, who is the manager of the show here in Memphis, Tennessee. Tim, my first time here, although we've known each other for a while. It's great to see you here in Memphis, and you've got this thing kicking off. Give us, first of all, just how are things going here on opening day?
Absolutely great. We had huge crowds. We were sold out by Thanksgiving. There's been a tremendous amount of interest because we've had so many consecutive years of record cash prices. We've had record profit levels, and that tends to find itself into R&D. So there are a lot of new companies with products and services. I'm amazed, frankly, every year at the amount of innovations that occur in this traditional, non-traditional industry.
Yeah, there's so much variation in crops down in this part of the country. Kind of have to go out on the West Coast to find something similar. But can you give us an idea of how many people come to a show like this?
We have about 400 exhibitors. They come from about 41 or two states. We have 15 foreign countries represented here in delegations. And then we will have between 18 and 20,000 people total over the two-day trade show. And I would just add that these are primarily farmers, people involved in commercial farm operations. That's what this show is about. We call it producer-oriented and farm-family-friendly. So we welcome farm families, but we'll find a lot of decision-makers coming to this show, and that's important to us.
If you are a cute baby blogger, this would be a great place to be. I'm just going to say, because I have been at several shows lately, and there's more babies being pushed and pulled around here than any I've been to.
Well, it's interesting. You know, farming is changing, and it's been a business for years, but it's been largely a family business. I'll have great-grandparents come to me and say I'm bringing my great-great-grandkid to his first Farm and Gin show. So there's a bit of a tradition there, and I think it's because there are young farm families in this region of the country. Mm-hmm. We're in a generational change with who is managing farms. We try to appeal to all ranges. We make it friendly for those who've been here for 50 shows. We make it very open for the young, aggressive farmer out there who sits in his combine with his smartphone. He's tracked in through our show app. And so we try to make it really a one-stop shopping point every time before we get out into spring planting and plowing to say, let's all get together. Let's talk about where our industry is. What are other farmers saying across the country? And what do we see as the outlook? And what do we see people saying as what they're planning to do? What are the risks they see as the most challenging in the year ahead? A lot of ideas have been incubated at this show because it's such a friendly, interactive, high quality, always new, a lot of the traditional things as well here. People find it easy to come here to talk. So they plan on meeting here for 2 days every year to say this is where it all comes together.
Yeah, we got to point out that it is the home of blues and good old rock and roll, too, while we're at it. Most people know that. But I got to ask one question up front here for some of my friends who were giving me a hard time because I was going to the, quote, gin show. And because I got the impression they don't know what a cotton gin is. I don't know how that's possible, but tell them what a cotton gin is.
Sure. Well, a cotton gin is the Eli Whitney so-called invention, although some people say it was invented before that. It is the machine that made the expansion of cotton in the South possible, and with that was the whole relationship to England, where the textile mills were, and with that became a really the great base of a lot of economic growth, not only in the South, but in the textile mills in the Northeast. So for 40 to 60, I think it's more than 40 years consecutive, cotton was a single major export for this country. It helped develop us economically. The cotton gin is what made that possible. Mm-hmm. I will add that, interestingly, the cotton gin is a huge farmer-owned investment. It is a way a farmer has been able to say, I reach beyond just the production into a value-added phase of agriculture. So when we talk about value-added agriculture for the farmer, ginners have had that for years because most of them are farmers. They process the cotton. It takes the cotton from the field, separates the lint, which is attached to the seed, and then it goes into probably 100 different uses, not just great, comfortable cotton shirts, but it goes into the seeds, which are high in wonderful nutrients and qualities. And then it goes, the seeds feed so many dairy herds in the Midwest, which we ship directly to. Then it's interesting that some of the byproducts include compost made from the residue of cotton plants, which universities like the University of Illinois have shown actually reduces weed populations when it's put in the mulch. So you have some very interesting, from A to Z, this is a marvelous historical and economic plant. And it has carried with it because it has to compete in an industrial raw market against the polyesters and nylons of the world. It carries with it a high degree of efficiency that's required, high capital outlays, and a great early adaptation of technology. You will find very early technology adapters for those who grow cotton. So that was the history of the show. And as the gin industry changed, the number of manufacturers changed, we could easily put in one-tenth of the space we have here all of the linkages that a trade show would have for the gin industry. So very wisely, we have expanded into all the major field crops for two reasons. It makes for a viable show, quite honestly. Secondly, most of our farmers are multiple crop producers. In the last 10 years, especially, we have probably seen the largest shift between various crops in the Mid-South any place in the country. We now have, after all of these years, probably some of the most seasoned veterans of crop shifting in the world. I think they're prepared for the future with a new farm bill, because they have gone from way up in this commodity to way down. We're fortunate we have the land, we have the technology, we have the professionalism, we have the water that makes this part of the world, I think, truly a breadbasket in the world.
Yeah, mentioning water, I've had the opportunity to be on a conservation tour here in the Southeast maybe a year or so ago. And just fascinating how farmers are coming up voluntarily with their own efforts to try to better manage water runoff and usage on farms here in the Southeast. You know, we hear they got a lot of water. They do, you know, usually. Not always, but being very conscientious of what they're doing and what they're putting out to help grow these crops.
Well, it's interesting you say that. You know, having the quality of water and quantity of water does not water efficiency make. That's so important. In the last 5 years, as we've seen corn and soybean acres just grow in this area, and wisely, and we've seen a lot of shining steel put up and down the Mississippi River that farmers have invested in with on-farm storage. It's really a marvelous thing that's happened. And I think that that reflects the fact that we can grow these crops, and it's very important for us to know that we can grow any number of crops in a rotation, and we learn to do that from year to year. It's good agronomically, it's good economically, and we think we've developed an infrastructure that hopefully has maintained the cotton, which has lost acreage, for example, some years to corn. But a farmer who's gone through the last 5 to 7 years in the Mid-South with acreage shifts and now with a new farm bill is, in fact, a farmer, I think, that is pretty well qualified to look at what agriculture, I think, we will be facing in the next 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, besides this trade show that we have here, you do have some programs of educational programs, like I think today called the update session, and you might talk about that. And I think tomorrow there's another session that's going to go on.
We have a number. We always say that the background, if you will, we hang the framing of this show around a top-flight 400 exhibits. Mm-hmm. And we usually have about 50-plus exhibits every year that are brand new. We try to bring in a lot of mid-size specialty type operations. But we're famous for our Ag Outlooks, which every Friday morning is primarily centered around traditional Mid-South crops, which we claim are cotton, of course, and then we have rice, uniquely that, and then we also have wheat update. Then the following morning, we have gotten to where we do corn and soybean session. Very, very popular. Both are very popular packed rooms. Then we've started some new sessions. We try not to have too many that keep people off the trade floor show, but what we are having today is an inaugural event called the Mid-South Ag Forum. We've gone to 5 universities that comprise the traditional Mid-South region. We've said if there's one piece of research that you think farmers in our region really need to be aware of, what would you do? And we've pulled those together. So for 2 hours today, we'll be talking about the benefits of a corn-cotton rotation. Don't look as corn at the enemy. Look at the benefits of planting cotton after corn. We're dealing with things like the bee apiary issue. We're dealing with a lot of weed resistance issue. And as we were mentioning about irrigation, what we're doing here is we have the water, but we don't have the efficiency in application. We're going to be presenting research information that shows you can reduce by half your irrigation cost and still get the same results. So it's a matter of us learning the efficiency that the more drought-driven areas have to learn by necessity. And what I say is, any place you can save money, by all means do that. And irrigation efficiency in the middle of a lot of water is a key area for us. Not only are we sustainable, we're cutting some of the expenses for operations. So we've really emphasized for 2 years now irrigation efficiency, including technology that helps you monitor and understand that. A lot of that research is done right here in the Mid-South.
I'm going to try to make that session, and also got to mention, I know I saw on the schedule, and I was already told by Cindy, my wife and partner, I'm really not allowed near this, but there's something about a puppy giveaway.
Well, this is interesting. We do. For years, we've had a Rest Your Lab puppy giveaway. It comes from a gentleman who trains them. We make sure that the recipient wants the dog and can take care of it. We keep in contact with them. Wonderful success stories. We do give those away, so we'll have hundreds of people that all come down expectant. One happy, 500 that leave sad. And so we've just really made it a fun part of the event here, and it's been very nice. It's got a warm feel to it, and we really have enjoyed it. And the stories of people who come back year after year and say, let me show you a picture of what I want at your show. But we're very careful in doing that. They're very high quality, gentle dogs. We make sure of that, and we make sure that we follow up and monitor the home they go into.
No, I just thought that was such a unique thing that I saw in your program. Before we go, a couple other things. You do have some interesting personalities out here on the show floor today, I understand.
Yeah. You know, this show is interesting. We probably have a very high quality of average attendee. He is the commercial farmer that comes to this show. We're proud of that, but we welcome everyone. And in addition to that, we have very little corporate sponsorship, but we appreciate all the companies that are here. We've just kept it that kind of a show. We don't charge admission. It's really a unique trade show. So we do have companies that bring celebrities, and last year we had Duck Dynasty show up, and it was such a big celebration here with, frankly, our friends from Duck Dynasty. Yeah. A lot of them were neighbors to these folks. And this year we have Jerry Lawler, who is famous in the wrestling world, quite a personality, and then our own regional Terry Bradshaw, who, of course, is an NFL legend and really a great guy, and by the way, loves farming and agriculture. Mm-hmm. So we will have those show up. We've had senators, congressmen. It's an incredible show. We don't actively seek that out as part of the show, but it sometimes happens to help us celebrate the event.
Yeah. Talk about who puts on the show. I mean, there's an organization that does this, right?
Yeah, it was started 62 years ago by a group of state ginning, cotton ginning associations. They wisely decided we'll have a trade show. We'll do it as a service to our members. And that has developed into quite the history here in Memphis. We're known for a lot of things in Memphis, and one is we have quite the event here this weekend every year down at the Peabody and all over town. We sell out all the rooms for miles around. And so it's an annual homecoming yet new adventure event. It really has some unique characteristics about it. And so we do have that has evolved over 62 years of putting on this show. So it's an amazing look at American agriculture. And so it started as that. It grew into a viable trade show, and now it has grown into what we think is a really premium indoor show for the agriculture we represent. What I think this show tries to do is it tries to make it a broad expanse, a continuation of all other events and sources of information, tends to pull it in and say, now let me figure out how I'm going to use it. And what we try to do is provide a forum where it's very easy, very comfortable to interact and to say, well, you show me this new product, what am I going to do with it? And I think we're into the drawn area. I think it's going to grow just like we saw GIS GPS grow. And we've evolved in that technology to where it no longer is something that we look at and say it's fancy, therefore it's good. We know this is what's good about it. This is what's not good for me. If ultimately products and development, R&D, doesn't help a farmer create a new market, increase his profit, reduce his cost, you have to question the amount of time you spend looking at it except for simply personal interest reason.
Well, thank you very much, Tim, for visiting with me here. We're going to do it again before we close out this year's Mid-South Farm at Gin Show. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.